In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups, the police who investigate crime and the district attorneys who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
Dog groomers leave their van.
My last boss, he screwed me out of a raise. So I tell him, who do you think I am, Blanche freaking Dubois?
What he said?
Nothing. So I went out for smoke, never came back.
Better to work with animals who don't talk.
So they just let you in like this?
Wait till you see Buffy.
He unlocks a gate and a door.
Morning, Buffy. Vladdy's here.
They enter a darkened, expensive home and pause.
You sure this bitch likes you?
Hey, come on, girl. Stop your ride.
Smells like old Buffy's got a bladder problem.
Mr. Osterhaus? Hello? It's Vladdy, sir.
Oh, my God!
They run out, leaving a St. Bernard lying near a man's bloody corpse.
So based on temp and rigor, time of death comes in Saturday afternoon, somewhere in the neighborhood of 2. Bruising up and down the right side, right ankle looks broken.
Falling down the stairs will do that.
I doubt he tripped.
Defensive wounds?
There's no way that head wound was an accident.
So somebody clocked him before he fell down.
That's one possibility, but considering the lack of blood on the stairs, I'm going to go with the flip side. He tumbled and then got beamed. Could be with that.
The ME points to a golf club lying on the hardwood floor, and Lenny picks it up.
So that's what a one iron is for.
Eddie's in the kitchen with an answering machine.
Oh, it's me, hon. It's Saturday. Let's see. 4:15. I could really use a brunch partner tomorrow. Give me a jingle.
He didn't look hungry. His name's Bradley Osterhaus, some kind of big deal stockbroker.
6 calls, all women, all very friendly. Oh, and no forced entry.
Gold Rolex and $3,500 in cash laying out in the open for all the world to see. I doubt he was thinking robbery.
Found this inside, detective. It's a lady's earring.
Thanks, Barrett.
Lenny takes it as Eddie checks a date book.
Looks like diamonds. Antique, hard to trace.
And expensive. This says that Osterhaus was to have lunch on Saturday with a C.C. Vanderveer.
Sounds like she could afford a pair of these.
Lenny holds up the single earring in a plastic bag. The New York City skyline is lit up at night. Police officers work the city streets. The word law moves in front of a squad car and a man is led away in handcuffs. Detective Lenny Briscoe's tie is loosely knotted around his open shirt collar. Detective Eddie Green is neatly dressed, and Lieutenant Anita Van Buren is in her office. The word order appears in front of a courthouse, and a U.S. flag waves. Scenes from a courtroom are shown. Executive Assistant D.A. Jack McCoy is leaning on his desk. Assistant D.A. Serena Sutherland and D.A. Arthur Branch are in their offices. Law and order. The detectives and the assistant D.A.s walk down a hallway together. In an expensive-looking home, Lenny and Eddie interview a woman.
Bradley loved my crystal. He used to say if I left him one thing in my will.
I guess you don't have to worry about that anymore.
That's crass. If you knew him, you'd know how hard this is to fathom.
He seemed to have quite a fan club, Mrs. Vanderveer. They were all women.
Something wrong with that?
Hey, I'm all for it. Fortunately, I wasn't married to any of them.
No, please. Our husbands trusted Bradley. He was everything they aren't. Charming raconteur, devil on the dance floor.
At lunch on Saturday, you weren't wearing antique diamond earrings, were you?
This year, if it's not designed by Kieselstein Cord, it's not in my jewelry drawer.
Mine either.
Let me tell you about Bradley. He had 2 gift lists. I've been firmly planted on the Mark Cross list since 98.
And the other one?
Les Belles Fleurs. As a matter of fact, that's where I dropped him after lunch.
Flowers always did the trick for me.
You're a simple man, aren't you?
I do my best.
Later with a lingerie clerk.
Beats the hell out of Flowers.
Pardon?
Ignore him, he's simple. Do you know who Mr. Osterhaus bought that for?
He is very generous. He has many friends. Last week, he bought 3 camis.
She holds up a black camisole.
Comme ça.
You could catch a cold in that.
All for the same friend?
Sizes 2, 6, and 8.
Busy night?
I don't think so. We delivered 2. The 3rd he carried with him.
Can you tell us where the 2 were delivered?
I don't know. Some things are private.
Well, we'll make sure you get an invitation to Mr. Osterhaus's funeral.
Oh, mon Dieu. Let me check my book.
I don't think I ever met a size 2.
Lysandra Bridle, 831 Fifth Avenue.
I just saw him 2 weeks ago. He took me to my first Rolling Stones concert, 10th row center. My ears are still ringing.
Tough tickets to get.
Not for Brad. The man knew everybody who knows.
Still three seats, front and center?
Three.
She's in a bridal gown.
Oh, yes. Besides being older than Mick by a decade, my fiancé is more the Meister singer type.
And he doesn't mind you going around the town with Brad?
Are you kidding? Brad introduced me to Ronald.
Did your fiancé know about the lingerie Brad sent you?
Of course not. It was a gift for my honeymoon. Lower half inch. Yes, I was with my attorney up in Pound Ridge.
Excuse me?
I'm sure you want to know where I was Saturday. Have you ever actually read a prenup?
No, but I should have.
It's snowing as a woman walks with the detectives.
We'd known each other for years. We went riding, played tennis. I don't know how I'm going to tell Darcy, my daughter.
She was that close to Brad, was she?
She fell in love with him at a Labor Day clam bake. He taught her how to swim.
What about you?
After my divorce, I swore off men, at least when Darcy was around. She'd already had her life turned upside down by her father. Brad, I don't know, he was different.
We heard he was a hell of a dancer.
To the rest of the world. To me, he was warm, like a down comforter. Safe.
Well, what about all these other women he'd been dancing with?
They didn't matter. Like a little umbrella in a frozen daiquiri, it looks good, but does nothing for the buzz.
You're very colorful, Mrs. Tucker.
I'm a photographer. It comes with my job. Brad went out with those women because their husbands or boyfriends had better things to do. It was more of an obligation, a business necessity, that's all.
I'm sure. What about last Saturday?
I was setting up a shoot at Jackie's studio.
Jackie?
Jackie Scott, the queen of cosmetics. I'm doing her fall catalog. Hello.
She picks up a small girl and looks at the men.
I gotta get Darcy to ballet.
They watch the mother and daughter leave. In Van Buren's office.
Bachelorette number one's lawyer confirms her alibi.
And number two?
Jackie's office said they couldn't tell us where she was until they checked with her. Apparently she's a very private person.
Well, then she needs to keep her face off all those magazine covers.
A woman enters.
Jackie Scott, huh?
What's up, Anna?
Her office says she'll be at Barney's in a half hour.
Hey, if she's giving out any free samples,
huh?
At a department store.
I'm so sorry to keep you waiting. We've been prepping for this event for months.
Not a problem.
Thanks.
She gives them gift sacks.
It's a shame about Bradley. And to think that I was angry because he never returned my call.
Well, I hope you found another brunch partner. We heard your message.
Oh, of course you did.
Actually, we wanted to talk to you about Lindsay Tucker.
She's shooting my fall catalog. You don't think that Lindsay...
It's all part of the drill.
Of course.
Can I have your autograph?
Oh, sure. Excuse me.
When was the last time you saw Lindsay?
Saturday. All day. We were prepping for the shoot.
She signs a woman's gift sack.
Look, if you're thinking that Lindsay killed Brad, you're way off base. They were in love.
Were you really close to Brad?
Well, everybody needs a shoulder to cry on, Detective.
What sort of thing made Bradley tear up?
You know, Brad treated his clients like family. When that internet bubble burst, a lot of them with discretionary accounts lost a ton of money. I think he felt like he let them down. Like he was personally responsible.
She's called away.
I wonder if any of his clients agreed.
James Brokerage, in an office.
Everyone's still in shock.
It'll take a while to sink in.
I guess it could have been worse.
Could have been you.
Bradley could have had kids.
How are his clients holding up?
Stiff upper lip crowd? I probably didn't notice.
Money's money, huh?
Oh, no, not to those on Brad's client list. That's funny, I used to tell him that he wouldn't qualify as one of his own clients.
Judging by his crib, I'd say he was doing okay.
For some people, the Mayflower's more than a West Side hotel. Old money.
You know what? Maybe we'd better take a look at that client list. Put the biggest losers on top.
The man types on a keyboard in a park the next day.
You thought I was mad as hell and killed Bradley for some bad investments?
A couple of $1 million, I would have been tempted.
Well, it's hardly a fiscal downfall. It's more like a hiccup.
Nothing a little Pepto wouldn't cure, huh?
Well, the way I see it, there's that much less for my lovely wife to spend when I'm gone. People in our crowd, we might die for money, Detective, but we certainly wouldn't kill for it, especially someone like Bradley. My heart goes out to Lindsay.
Lindsay Tucker, the photographer?
Yeah, she wanted to marry him. But I'm not sure if Bradley was the marrying type. Not that it really mattered either way.
Why's that?
Well, for Lindsay to make it down the aisle with Bradley, she'd have to step over her mother's dead carcass.
Why, because he's just a stockbroker?
Mom wouldn't appreciate being kicked out of Brad's bed. You didn't hear that from me.
Wait, you're saying that Brad was sleeping with Lindsay Tucker and her mother?
That's right. And nobody who picks a fight with Jackie Scott ever lives to talk about it.
The man gets into a limousine as Eddie and Lenny exchange glances. Later with Van Buren.
You're talking about Jackie Scott, the cosmetics mogul, publicly traded Jackie Scott.
Yeah.
Please don't tell me at the same time.
Oh, it's like Oedipus, the sequel.
I'm not going to even start to do the math on that one.
Hey, it gets better.
I need to sit down.
Eddie grins.
We talked to both of them. Now, neither one of them mentioned the fact that they're related.
And you're thinking the makeover maven was somehow involved in a first-degree felony.
I'll cover them one up anyway.
Imagine Lindsay's surprise when she finds out just how friendly Mom is with her main squeeze.
So she kills the guy because of the mother and then uses her as an alibi?
Being rich ain't for sissies.
Did you check out their stories with anyone at Jackie's office?
Well, it appears that no one else was working on Saturday.
Then you need to talk to the other woman in Lindsay's life.
Well, the daughter's only 4 years old.
I'm talking about the nanny. God forbid these people should raise their own kids.
Apartment of Lindsay Tucker. Eddie and Lenny are with a young woman.
Miss Lindsay didn't tell Darcy yet. Poor child, she couldn't wait until Christmas.
Oh, Brad gave her a nice present, did he?
She hands Lenny a Tickle Me Elmo Muppet.
She told me next Christmas Brad was going to be her new daddy.
Well, how did Lindsay's mom react to that news?
It was a secret.
Eddie picks up photos.
Miss Lindsay wouldn't...
We wanted to know what time Miss Lindsay went over to Brad's apartment Saturday.
She didn't go to Brad's house.
Oh, that's right. She went over to Jackie's office. What time was that?
I don't know.
Wow, this is great. Did Lindsay take this?
She likes the park very much, yes.
Isn't this nice, Lee?
He holds up a photo of runners in a race.
It was a 10K benefiting breast cancer research.
I must have missed a little pink ribbon.
I ran the race, Lenny. Don't ask, it was for a friend. But it was just this past Saturday, and it was over at noon.
So either Lindsay used an awful long lens to take that picture,
or she wasn't in that office.
They walk to their car. Jackie Scott Enterprises, in Jackie's office.
Make yourselves at home. I want to use a phone? It's pretty quiet. Should be after what I paid to soundproof this place. Lindsay should be back soon.
You know what? I bet you could help us out.
Well, I'll give it a shot.
It's the least a mother can do.
They stare at each other.
Can I get you something? Water? Juice?
The truth would be nice.
A couple of detectives go knocking on your door asking questions about your daughter's murdered lover. What would you do?
Depends on who did the murdering.
Why would Lindsay kill Brad?
Just a guess, but maybe Lindsay didn't appreciate you stupping Brad while she wasn't around.
You know, if one of my employees spoke like that, he'd be looking for work.
And maybe you should stop giving us the runaround.
All right, look, I was seeing Brad, but Lindsay had no idea. Nobody would have known if we hadn't bumped into Phil Brucker up in Vermont.
Maybe Phil.
No, not a chance. He'd never hurt Lindsay. Look, I mean, I know you have to do this, but really, there's no way that my daughter would have killed Bradley.
And why the fairy tale about you two working together on Saturday?
No, she was here all morning.
And Brad was killed in the afternoon.
Sorry, Jackie. Susan said they were looking for me.
You know what? It might be better if we did this in private.
They leave with Lindsay. Later at headquarters.
The one thing you're forgetting is that I loved Bradley.
That's not going to help your case, Lindsay.
Look, for most people, the more you love somebody, the more likely you are to get pissed when you find out they're cheating.
I told you, those other women didn't mean anything to Brad. He took them to the ballet, to the theater. He complained to me about them daily.
All of them?
What's that supposed to mean?
I'm thinking about one in particular. Someone a lot closer to home.
I've no idea what you're talking about.
Lindsay, come on, think about it. How much time did your mom spend with Brad?
Stop. That's sick.
She glances around the room.
Do you know who my mother is? What she's accomplished in her life?
She stands angrily.
She sleeps in the Lincoln bedroom. She doesn't skulk around in some sordid affair.
She turns to the wall, covers her face with her hands, and sobs.
I knew you would suspect me, and I also knew that once the papers found out who I was, it would be a PR nightmare for my mother.
So you never got to her office on Saturday?
She sits back down, shaking her head.
I knew she was there. It was the first thing that popped into my head.
Van Buren enters with a man.
Miss Tucker's lawyer.
Don't say anything, Lindsay.
You charging her?
No, we were just having a friendly conversation.
That's nice. It's over. Grab your things.
She gets her purse and coat, and they leave.
That went well.
Excuse me.
Eddie bolts from the room.
Well, either this girl's doing a real Meryl Streep, or she doesn't know anything about Jackie and Bradley.
How's forensics doing with that golf club?
Wiped clean.
Okay. Jackie said she was in her office all day on Saturday, so the call she made to Osterhaus must have happened from her office, only the LUDs say that she called from herself.
Hey, people do use those things indoors, partner.
Eddie plays a cassette tape.
Oh, it's me, hon. It's Saturday. Let's see. 4:15. I could really use a brunch partner tomorrow. Give me a jingle.
Lenny's still confused.
Hell of a lot of background noise, ain't it?
Have you ever spent any time in my office?
I don't think the city soundproofed your office.
Looks like Jackie wasn't where she said she was either.
Later at Jackie's office.
I have a room full of people in there. When is this going to stop?
When you tell us something that resembles the truth.
Do you have any idea what I pay in city taxes?
I do, and I want to thank you for these new shoes.
Don't quit your day job, detective.
Lindsay walks in.
Lindsay, I'll be with you in a minute.
No, maybe you should hear this. You weren't the only one that lied about where you were on Saturday.
Go back to the meeting.
She reads a card.
Dear Jackie.
And walks to her mother.
Thank you for a glorious weekend.
She stares at her.
Love, Brad.
Her mother's confused.
Les Bellefleurs sent me your box by mistake. Once again.
Refuses to take the gift card, so Lindsay throws it down as Eddie shakes his head. Then Lindsay looks at Lenny.
I killed Bradley.
Jackie looks shocked as Lenny and Eddie exchange glances. At a private club.
Still lounging around?
Arthur stands to greet Jackie.
I already gave up 95% of my salary to the public. I'm entitled to an hour for myself.
She kisses his cheek.
Arthur, we've got to talk.
I think maybe for propriety's sake, we ought to wait a couple of months.
Oh, you always have to be such a lawyer.
They sit, facing each other.
I think it's genetic. Kind of like making money is with you.
Listen, Arthur, if this mess hits the papers...
It's Lindsay's mess, not yours.
The company is me, Arthur. It's my face, my integrity. If either one of them gets blemished, we're... Look, we both know my judgment in personal matters may not be top of the line, but...
Marrying Harold was bad judgment. Hopping into bed with the fellow who's hopping into your daughter's bed is a mangled moral compass.
If I remember correctly, I didn't judge you when you came to me hat in hand before the election. Or when you wanted to get into that country club or get your season tickets to the Met, I didn't ask any questions, did I? I didn't judge. I helped you. Because you were my friend.
He glances down.
Say the word and I'll recuse myself. Otherwise, I'll play it as I see it.
Don't be silly.
She looks down.
But tell me, Arthur.
Then looks up.
This McCoy fella. He works for you, right?
Arthur stares at her as he sits back in his chair. Later, in Jack's office.
Oh, she has nerve.
Not to mention several organs below the Mason-Dixon.
What did she expect you to do?
Well, to be blunt, she'd like me to jump down, turn around, and pick a bell of cut.
Serena enters.
Jack.
Carrying a newspaper, she freezes when she spots Arthur and folds the paper up.
So, I have three items of note that might be useful in the Lindsay Tucker matter.
Shoot.
Well, first, Jackie didn't inherit her company from a rich daddy or a husband. The old gal started in the street and made it up to the penthouse. Now, as an entrepreneur, she's right up there with Sam Walton. As a loving mother, she's right up there with Sam Walton. I know she feels love, but mostly an eighth of a point at a time.
So coming to Lindsay's aid at the risk of hurting her credibility with investors is out of character.
Miles. Two, Brad Osterhaus wasn't just the Scott girl's lover. He was her stockbroker and a damn good one. Now, Jackie's mantra has always been, if somebody's making you money, keep them around no matter what. Now, I'm sure Lindsay heard that on more than one occasion, and she's not one to disobey her mater.
You think this is about more than a cheating lover?
That's my two cents. See if you can turn it into a buck.
You said you had three items of note. That's only two.
Number three, I read five papers with my morning coffee.
He smiles, leaves, and Serena unfolds her newspaper to show Jack a photo of Jackie with Arthur Branch.
Could it be he's unduly influenced?
Or he could be right. I'd hate to find out I was wrong after I rested my case.
She nods. and walks out. Burkhart James Brokerage. Serena's with a broker.
According to this, Lindsay's down about 10%.
Worse than some, better than most. Not that it would bother Lindsay either way.
Well, 10% of a lot is still a lot, no matter who you are.
Look at the title on the account.
The Trust for the Benefit of Lindsay Scott?
It's a tax thing. It's a way to shelter capital gain.
So Jackie's the trustee?
Along with Brad. It's the only way the tax thing worked.
Let me get this right. Brad couldn't buy and sell stock for Lindsay's benefit without Jackie's approval?
And vice versa.
Can I get a look at Jackie's records?
One step ahead of you.
He hands her a statement. Later.
That would explain why Jackie's personal trades and the trades in the trust are identical.
Except for one. Pylon Petroleum, which lost 70% of its value on October 10th. Jackie had Osterhaus dump her shares on October 8th.
And made a whopping profit of $32,000.
While the trust's investment in Pylon Petroleum was a bust. Jackie must have known something the rest of Wall Street didn't.
If Jackie had inside info, why wouldn't she sell the trust shares too?
Because she couldn't without Brad Osterhaus's okay, who is the co-trustee.
And he wanted to lose money?
I'm assuming he wanted to stay on the good side of the SEC.
But Jackie's worth more than $500 million, Serena. The most she could have lost in Pylon is what, $100,000? Why would she kill over that?
I don't know. That's where I lose myself.
I couldn't find any calls from Jackie to Brad's office on October 8th.
What time did Noonan dump Jackie's shares?
1:17.
Somebody named Neil Skinner called Noonan at 1:14.
Do you have an address?
Yeah. Huh. Oh, you gotta love these guys. This call was placed from Mr. Skinner's private jet.
Serena smiles and looks at Anita. Manhattan Terrace Hotel. Serena's with a man.
Pylon Petroleum. She was my baby. Started trading oil futures from a rented room over a barber shop in Amarillo until I had enough to start drilling on my own.
They sit, facing each other.
Let's just rope this bull, why don't we? My story to you is no different than the one I told the SEC. Members of my family who sold their Pylon shares acted without prior knowledge of RWD's decision. I know this for a fact because I don't talk to them.
I'm interested in the flight you took on your plane with Jackie Scott this past October.
So you're after the cosmetics kahuna. This I'd pay to see.
Was she on your plane in October?
Sure. I'll enter the G5 to get back to the city from Aspen.
But you didn't fly with her.
And leave 8 inches of fresh powder? Now, before you start spending that promotion money, you should know that Jackie never buys a share of stock without backstopping it with a stop-loss order. Smart girl.
Later, with Jack.
She didn't have a stop-loss order, not for Pylon Petroleum or any other stock. She lied to Skinner.
You think he told her his stock was about to take a dive?
If he thought she already had a stop-loss order, he wouldn't be breaking any laws. Skinner found out that RWD was pulling out its financing on October 7th. Jackie Scott sold her shares on October 8th. It's hardly a leap.
What's this all got to do with Brad Osterhaus?
The SEC started investigating Skinner last month. Jackie had to have known it was only a matter of time before someone with a federal warrant came knocking at her door.
So she tried to persuade Osterhaus to backdate a stop-loss order. He refused and...
Brad Osterhaus doesn't live to testify against her.
What about Lindsay's confession?
Arthur was right. Jackie could withstand the stink of a sex scandal, but a financial scandal would hurt her credibility with her precious investors.
So Lindsay confessed to a crime she didn't commit to save the empire.
Especially if Jackie assured her that Arthur would get her off with just a slap on the wrist.
Jack nods.
Let her go.
What?
Release her. But first, stop off to see Judge Martin about a wiretap.
He walks away as she smirks and leaves his office, later with Arthur.
I told you they'd fall for it. I had no doubt Arthur would come through for us. Plus, I didn't see you spend a night in jail.
He, Jack, and Serena listen to a tape.
Sorry. It's okay. And thank you, Lindsay. I hope you realize how much I appreciate this.
Jack stops the tape.
I've heard warmer mother-daughter conversations on the Nature Channel.
That's the first call Lindsay made when she came home.
Thursday night. Jackie should be at the Grand Havana room right about now.
Arthur dials a phone. In a club, Lenny and Eddie slide open wooden doors to reveal a poker game in progress.
Look, Dad, boys' night out.
Jackie's the only female.
No room at the table, fellas.
Oh, no problem.
Winnie checks her cards.
Time to fold them anyway, Slim.
They cuff her.
Jackie Scott, you're under arrest for the murder of Bradley Osterhaus. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can be used against you in a court of law.
423-763, People versus Jacqueline Scott. Charges murder in the first degree.
That's as good as it gets. What's your plea?
Not guilty, Your Honor.
My client is a valued member of the community. She employs thousands of New Yorkers who depend on her for their salary.
Does she have a cat? I like cats.
The state asks for remand without bail. Miss Scott's wealth makes her a flight risk.
Since when is financial success a criminal offense?
So let's say we make her that much less offensive. Bail is set at $2 million cash.
Your Honor, this defendant could hop on a private plane as easily as you and I could get on a subway.
But can she get a cab in the rain? I'll take your passport too, Miss Scott.
For added assurance, the people also request an electronic ankle bracelet and house arrest.
Don't fret, Miss Scott. Maybe you can cook up some matching accessories. Next.
Later, Lindsay knocks at Arthur's open office door.
Let me guess. You want to tell me what a great mom Jackie's been?
She steps inside and shuts the door.
I'm not here to make excuses for her, Arthur.
And these bones have been through way too much to bend over backwards. For anyone.
So that's it? We just throw her out with yesterday's newspaper?
If she kills someone, yes.
She steps to his desk and sits in a chair in front of it.
There was a time. Maybe I was 5 or 6. It's way before she was a household name. Central Park was filled with snow. I just couldn't wait to use my new sled. So when Mom stopped to talk with someone, I grabbed it. And I flew down the hill. Right into a tree. And the sled shattered. And I thought, oh my God, she's gonna kill me. She just bought this sled. But she picked me up. And she ran all the way to the hospital.
You've long since paid her back, Lindsay.
But if you could see the look in her eye. She loved me, Arthur. Not the sled.
Her chin quivers.
Me.
He leans forward.
She was willing to send you to jail.
No. She would never have let it get that far.
She betrayed you with Bradley.
She knew he was wrong for me. His being with her only proved it. You can't help her.
He pauses and shakes his head. Lindsay looks down. Later, in a conference room.
So, I listened to your tape. What I heard was a mother expressing appreciation for her loving daughter's help.
For taking a fall to prevent the feds from discovering a financial cover-up.
First Martha, then me. What, the boys get a free pass? We found your palm print on the wall above his corpse. You can't honestly claim she didn't kill Brad Osterhaus.
I didn't hear her say that either.
Here we go.
My client intends to plead not guilty by reason of mental defect.
I can't wait to hear what comes next.
As a result of hormone replacement therapy withdrawal.
Menopause rage? Give me a break.
Hormone imbalance, sleep deprivation, it's real, Jack. Go ahead. Ask, what's her name? Olivette? To talk to her?
Or Skoda?
The more the merrier.
Office of Dr. Emil Skoda.
But once I stopped taking the pills, I was unable to get a full night's sleep. And I became so forgetful and irritable. I screamed at everybody around me. Once I even walked 30 blocks at full speed, and I had no idea where I was going.
Is that how you felt when you went to see Bradley Osterhaus?
I really don't remember. I know I had a hair trigger. And I was always muddled. I was always a step behind.
Mr. McCoy thinks you went to see him to ask him to help you cover up an illegal securities transaction. When he refused, you killed him.
For $32,000? Do you have any idea what I'm worth?
I've heard rumors.
And I earned it all myself. 18-hour days, 6 days a week for over 30 years, Doctor.
Can you still keep up that pace?
Well, I could. Until I quit the hormones.
And then?
I know all those menopause jokes men tell in bars. I defy any one of them to try and conduct a board meeting while suffering through hot flashes, or try and make a sound business decision after lying in a pool of your own sweat all night. Nightmares don't happen when you sleep, Doctor. They happen the day after you can't sleep.
How about now?
Now I'm fine. It's only because I'm back on the HRT.
In spite of the risks.
Well, the first thing you need to understand, I am what I do. My business is my life.
Dr. Olivet takes note.
Where does concern for your daughter fit in?
I love Lindsay. We're not talking about her.
Well, maybe we should be. You have to admit, most mothers don't have affairs with their daughter's lovers.
And I am not most people. Oh, you're going to make a meal out of that one. Doctor, you of all people should know, you can't control where the heart takes you.
Even if it might devastate your daughter.
Look, as I've said here repeatedly, I was not in my right mind.
Later with the DAs.
She lived like a man. She worked like a man. She made it to the top in male society. And now that she's in trouble, she's a damsel in menopausal distress.
What do they say about an estrogen-depleted woman carrying a loaded gun?
That's not science. It's a bumper sticker.
Don't tell me you're buying any of this nonsense.
Of course not. But a jury might. Was HRT withdrawal the reason she murdered someone? No. But I gotta tell you pump anyone full of enough drugs and then remove them, it's got to affect both emotion and behavior.
To the point they could control neither?
It's a possibility that can't be ignored.
Please, biology is not destiny. Jackie Scott personifies narcissism. She's cold, she's selfish, and she is more concerned with her financial well-being than she is with the welfare of her daughter, her lover, or anyone else for that matter. It's hubris that gets that woman up in the morning. And the only reason she'd kill Osterhaus is to protect her position in the Sunday Style section.
I'm convinced. Sorry, Emil, you'll sit this one out.
Dr. Skoda shrugs. Supreme Court Trial Part 47. Olivet is on the stand.
Hot flashes, night sweats, and vaginal dryness are the most common menopausal symptoms.
What about sleep deprivation, Doctor?
It's a secondary symptom of night sweats, experienced by some, but certainly not all menopausal women.
And the hormone replacement therapy relieves sufferers of those symptoms?
It's been very successful, but recent studies have linked HRT with an increased risk of breast cancer, so many women have elected to forego it.
And the typical symptoms return?
That's correct.
Let me ask you this. Do you know of any case in which those symptoms have led to murder?
No.
Then, in your opinion, when the defendant killed Mr. Osterhaus, was she aware of what she was doing? Did she know right from wrong?
Yes. Jackie Scott's life is defined by her status in a socially elite world. When that status is threatened, her reaction would be primal, like a lioness protecting a cub. Look what she did. She was willing to send her daughter to prison rather than lose her social position. Jackie Scott is what she earns, and from what I gather, she was petrified that the federal government might take that away.
And that's why she was willing to kill?
I believe so.
Jackie scribbles a note to her lawyer, who stands as Jack sits.
Are you a medical doctor? I have a PhD in clinical psychology.
Oh, you mean like lie on your back and tell me your problem?
Objection.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to trivialize your profession, Dr. Olivet. I just want to understand your background. For instance, are you educated in the biochemical ramifications of fluctuating levels of estrogen?
I know how to read, and I know that no level of estrogen will cause a woman to kill.
Nobody is saying that estrogen itself would cause anyone to kill. To your knowledge, are menopausal symptoms worse when a patient stops hormone replacement therapy?
All evidence to that effect is anecdotal at best.
But it does happen in some women.
Yes, their hot flashes become more pronounced, they may sleep less, but they certainly don't become emotional car wrecks.
Is that a medical term, Doctor?
She smirks at Olivet, who stares back at her as Jack looks down.
I don't blame you.
I've survived the nurture versus nature war, Jack. Both sides are wrong, and both sides are right. But women have come too far to let the law entertain questions like, would you want her to operate on you? Would you want her finger on the button?
Do you want him on the stand? Brolin's calling Skoda.
How did he get on Brolin's witness list?
He didn't. He's on ours.
Jack nods. Later in court.
You're a psychiatrist, Dr. Skoda, a medical doctor. Is that correct?
Yes.
Good. Now, would you agree with your esteemed colleague, Dr. Olivet, that increased night sweats that accompany HRT withdrawal could cause sleep deprivation?
Yes.
And what is frontal lobe deficit, doctor?
It's an interruption in the chemical and electrical activity in a patient's brain, which impedes it from functioning normally.
Now, doctor, what could cause the chemical and electrical activity in the brain to be impeded?
Idiopathic hypersomnia, which is the most common form of sleep deprivation.
Now, what are the ramifications of frontal lobe deficit?
It hinders one's ability to process language.
It can also lead to impaired judgment and more violent behavior. Isn't that true?
It's possible.
Now, here is the analysis of the endocrine levels in Ms. Scott's blood plasma. Is there anything here that jumps out at you?
There appears to be low TSH levels, which indicate decreased thyroid activity when she wasn't on HRT.
And the significance of that?
The defendant may have been sleep deprived.
Which can cause frontal lobe deficit and the subsequent violent behavior. Now, could you please tell us who pays your salary?
I have a private practice.
And?
And I'm on retainer with the district attorney's office.
Thank you.
Jack raises his eyebrows as she sits at the defense table.
So, a college freshman who pulls a couple of all-nighters cramming for finals might snap and whack his roommate?
Of course not. Idiopathic hypersomnia is a severe sleep disorder. Patients diagnosed as such typically awaken from a deep sleep several times during one night.
Do you know of any specific case in which a woman committed murder because she stopped hormone replacement therapy?
Skoda looks at the jury.
No.
Nothing further.
Jackie testifies.
I mean, my bed became my enemy. You know, I would awaken in this hellish heat 6 or 7 times a night. I'd have to move to another bed to get dry pillows and sheets. And then, suddenly, I'd be freezing, shivering. I couldn't fall back to sleep.
What about during the day at the office?
It was humiliating. I kept forgetting. I'd be right in the middle of a speech to shareholders, and I didn't know who I was talking to, what I was trying to say. And what you have to understand is my mind has taken me where I wanted to go. Now, I had lost faith in it.
You seem perfectly fine sitting here, Miss Scott.
That's because I'm back on the pills.
Despite the cancer risks?
Yes.
She looks at the jury.
Yes, and anybody who has ever experienced the alternative wouldn't even have to ask me why.
Why did you kill Brad Osterhaus?
I don't know. I don't remember. But if I could have stopped it, I would have.
She looks at the jury with a furrowed brow as her attorney walks away, and Jack stands to cross-examine her.
How'd you get to Mr. Osterhaus' apartment the day you killed him?
I walked.
Over a mile on busy city streets. How long did it take you?
Well, I didn't check my watch.
But you didn't get lost?
No.
Kill anyone along the way?
Objection.
Sustained.
How did you get home afterward?
I took a cab.
A cab? Really? Did you tip the cabbie?
Of course.
You remember walking to Mr. Osterhaus' apartment. You remember tipping the cabbie for the ride home, but nothing in between. I've got to admit, I find that curious. I also find it curious that you had the presence of mind to leave an innocent-sounding message for Mr. Osterhaus 2 hours after you killed him.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I went in and out. I was so confused. I didn't know what I was doing.
You were establishing an alibi, weren't you? You want to walk out of this courtroom, and you're willing to demean half the world's population to do it.
Objection.
Go ahead. Mock me. Call me names. I'm used to it. Men have been laughing at me for years. They laughed when I applied for my first business loan. They laughed when I proposed to take my company public. He said the business community wouldn't take me seriously. He said, why don't you just put your pretty little face on the billboards and we'll take care of the rest. Well, I put my face on the billboards and I took care of the rest. I did it all myself. Do you think it's easy for me to admit that I lost control? I want to remember Mr. McCoy. I wish to God I could. I need to be redeemed.
Serena watches the female juror's responses. Jack walks to his table as tears stain Lindsay's face. Later, with Arthur.
The scientist punched it out in the center of the ring while Jackie rope-a-doped the jury.
I doubt anyone fell for that self-serving drivel. And there's no way a jury can ignore the financial motive or the false alibi.
Sympathy versus science.
So we're looking at a jump ball?
Well, we need 12. They only need one to hang it.
Which means it's time to cut our losses.
Helen Brolin? No way. When she smells blood, she doesn't retreat.
Look, I know I'm skating out on the thin end of the pond here, but set up a meeting for tomorrow morning.
Arthur leaves.
Is that right?
Serena looks at Jack as he walks out as well. The next day, Arthur enters the conference room where Jackie sits with her attorney.
Arthur!
What, no straight jacket?
That's not funny.
He sits.
Yeah, Lillian tells me my last funny line was, I do.
Exactly whose soul are we here to search?
You're right. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Jackie. I'm going to put man one on the table. You'll do the minimum, and we'll call it a day.
My jury consultants tell me this is far from a sure thing.
I play poker with you, Arthur. The fact that you're here at all tells me you don't think you have a winner.
But I still get to draw some more cards.
Just how long do you think we can keep this metaphor going?
Arthur looks down and nods.
I'm going to indict Lindsay for obstruction and conspiracy.
Jackie stiffens.
Right. What do you care? You've already walked down that road with Lindsay once. You are really a piece of work, Jackie.
I'm not going to let you sit here and insult my client.
I haven't even warmed up yet. And as God's honest, I can't wait to get back in a courtroom.
You?
Hey, what are friends for?
They stare at him in disbelief.
Helen, would you give us a moment alone, please?
Not a chance.
All right, I'm fine.
Her attorney stands, as does Arthur, but she stops at the door and turns to him.
Nothing she says can be used in court.
Never crossed my mind.
She leaves, and Arthur sits next to Jackie.
The gender card? Please. You won't even use the lady's tees.
Well, my lawyer seems pretty confident.
If I were you, I'd forget about my lawyer and start worrying about my daughter. Because when I cross-examine those witnesses, including Lindsay, I'm going to ask about every check you ever wrote, every share of stock you ever bought or sold, and every man who ever spent the night.
You son of a bitch.
Take your time. Discuss it all with counsel.
He stands to leave as Jackie rubs her chin.
Pick a lane.
Arthur stops and turns around.
It's what the old man used to say. He used to say, Jack, life is like the street. Like a dangerous New York street. You pick a lane. And don't you let anybody ever cut you off. You can't cut me off, Arthur.
She smiles.
No one can.
He looks at her blankly.
I didn't have to.
He leaves, and she sobs. Later at night, Arthur leaves with Jack and Serena.
Of course she took the deal. It may not be the best thing I ever did, but then again, it wasn't the worst.
I'm not going to ask.
Now, let's just say that money may not buy happiness, but it sure buys a lot of family secrets.
She could have paid the SEC fine and been on a plane to Paris.
Well, Jackie never bites the hand that feeds her, but she'll cut off the one that tries to take even a mouthful off her plate.
Well, now she gets to trade that ankle bracelet for a jailhouse jumpsuit.
I hope for their sake they have her color.
They walk out together.